Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. I can say this with some certainty now that Jessica Taylor is going to exit the U.S. Senate race and is going to endorse Mike Durant. That's supposedly happening up at the Republican Women of Huntsville event right now. But certainly a little bit of a shake up there. I don't know. Where does she take her 3 or 4%? Does that bolster the Durant effort? So that's happening now. I wanted to bring that to you while we could. But joining us now on the line, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Always very kind to come on this show. He is from Ozark, just north of Dothan there, up 231. State Representative Steve Klaus on the line, also chairman of the General Fund. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Real good, Jeff. Thanks a lot for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. We always appreciate it. We're about to embark on this fourth year of a quadrennium here. Typically not a very exciting time in legislative by legislative standards, but a lot of different things going on, a lot of different variables. Obviously, COVID, so much federal money in the state coffers now and having to figure out how to deal with that this won't be maybe won't be as easy as it's typically been in the past. So just you come in, pass the budget to go home, right?
No, it won't be as easy because we will have a separate supplemental appropriation for the rescue plan funds that are remaining in this year's tranche here, which we have approximately $580 million left, and so we will be having a bill to address those funds, and then we got approximately $1.1 billion more that will be coming in sometime toward the end of May, and that will be appropriated at a later time. But we will address the remaining $580 million that is left. That we have already on hand.
And you know, with any time you deal with federal money and obviously you got Bill Poole, working with you in the governor's office, certainly different than it's been in the past. But anytime you got federal money, a lot of strings attached. What can we use this for? There's so much that you got to work through there.
Well, there is. I mean, the appropriation that the feds issued last year, dealing with what they call the CARES Act, was really very stringent, very limited on time. We had about 10 months to spend the amount of money that we had there at that point, and it really, there was a lot of strings that were attached that you had to spend the money first and then apply. Our cities and counties in the state had to spend money and then apply to have it reimbursed. And so if you didn't follow the guidelines, I mean, you were at risk of being out those funds, you know, and particularly for a lot of small towns that were trying to utilize these funds, and they didn't have the money to put up fund. It caused a lot of problems. So that was a very difficult process. This process is not as cumbersome. We have until the end of 26 to spend these funds, and they have to be appropriated by the end of 24. So we've got a little bit more time to think about it. And there's not quite as many strings attached. There's some guidance that is given on a lot of the funds, particularly dealing with health care, with nursing homes, hospitals, that type thing. And then a lot of guidance that is given emphasizing rural broadband for things like schools, school kids who were quarantined last year. We saw that a lot of kids around the state in areas that didn't have internet access were really put at a disadvantage doing their classwork. We saw where a lot of medical clinics were closed down, doctor's offices, and there was a lot of telemedicine where you were able to communicate with your doctor and them with you and go over x-rays and stuff like that. And a lot of people didn't have access to the internet. So it's certainly a big problem in Alabama. We do now have a digital map that was issued last month. That's been one of our stumbling blocks here over the last couple of years to just try to figure out where the areas are that are actually underserved or not being served at all. And now we have that map. So that is really going to help us to be able to go forward in instituting the infrastructure here on the broadband. So there will be a big emphasis on that. There will also be a big emphasis on water and sewer projects. And a lot of the cities and the counties that on their rescue plan funds, there's an emphasis on that too. They'll be able to match their funds with some of the state funds. And so there's going to be a lot of work done on water and sewer projects that have been neglected for a long time, not only in the state of Alabama, but all over the country.
Well, when you talk about that here in Alabama, you know, obviously the stories are Lowndes County, Lowndes County, Lowndes County. Yeah. I guess it's a philosophical thing. How much should the state be involved in that versus, say, the local buy-in? And if there is no ability for that local buy-in, then it's going to be up to the state to kind of fill that void, I suppose.
Well, there'll be some instances around the state in some more rural areas. Probably Lowndes County would probably fit into that area where there's going to have to be some pilot projects that are run. Some of these areas don't even have water or sewer systems in their small towns. Everybody's on septic tank. So there's going to have to be probably some pilot projects run to make sure that the septic tanks are up to speed and that type thing, because some folks can't afford the septic tanks. So there's going to be some issues there in some of these rural areas where there's going to have to be some give and take with the localities and the state here to try to solve some of these problems. But a lot of these water and sewer systems are really antiquated, and it's caused some problems with safe drinking water with some of the old pipes that are involved.
On the rural broadband effort there, it sounds like you got a lot of work cut out for you, but a lot of that, I mean, is it you have government agencies to figure a lot of this out and where the priorities are. I mean, do we have any sense of a timeline or really how that is, what that looks like to implement rural broadband throughout the state?
Well, one thing's for sure, it's expensive. And so, you know, we need to take advantage of this one-time money to put these one-time infrastructures into place that can change the generations to come. So yes, it's very expensive. It takes a lot of cooperation between the different entities, whether it be cable companies or power companies, rural power companies to access their lines and that type thing. And a lot of cooperation has to take place between cities and counties. So with that infrastructure and those right of ways. So a lot of that's been taking place already. And, you know, one of the big stumbling blocks has been the lack of money, where we have a plan put out there. But if you don't have the financing to move forward, then it doesn't do you any good. And I think we're going to be making a big dent in that financing here with these rescue plan funds.
Joined by State Representative Steve Klaus here on the program. Otherwise, I guess we look back to 2021, the prison situation, and you know, there's some questions about the use of the rescue money there, but also were we going to you know, the bonding issue that is all of that kind of going as planned to this point?
I think so. Moving right along, and the finance department's doing their due diligence with the bond issue, and so we'll should be turning dirt here in the next maybe 6 weeks to the 2 months here. So that will be a good thing to get us on the road to getting this problem solved that has really dogged us for many years. And it's, you know, as I've said before, it's not just something that affects Alabama. It's all over the nation, cities and counties with their local jails. It's just always a tough nut to crack because the funding always comes at the bottom of the barrel. There's just not a constituency there. So people in those elected positions, it's a lot easier to allocate those dollars in other areas that are more popular. But anyway, it's a issue that we've got to address in Alabama, and we are addressing it. And it's just first thing we got to do is build that foundation to at least have suitable facilities for us to hire enough people to go in there and staff these facilities. That's one of our big issues is lack of staff, lack of mental health professionals. It's hard to find people to go in these dilapidated buildings to do those jobs. So we got to build that foundation first, and I think we've taken a big step forward to doing that in that special session we had 2 months ago.
How are you feeling about that, though? The DOJ, my take on it was kind of like, well, maybe the DOJ will back off a little bit and give Alabama some time to kind of get its affairs in order. That they'll see how this is going to go. We're making the effort. Here it is. It's on paper now. It's official. But I can't really tell if that's the case or not. I see the DOJ is still proactive somewhat, particularly with the federal courts. Is there more to be done here, you think?
Well, I think that latest order there, I mean, it gave us to 2025. So I think they saw that, you know, it's not something that can happen overnight, and it's something that's basically an impossible task right now. It's not just prisons, but every industry is looking for workers. And so if you want a job, you can certainly find one somewhere out in the in your community. So it's not like people have to go work in prisons, you know. So I think they're giving us the time to get these facilities built and get the other ones renovated, and so we can at least have that foundation to hire enough employees that can staff these facilities. So I think we're moving in the right direction. Whether or not we can meet that timeline, I'm not sure, but I'm hopeful of it.
Well, and you know, that's a separate lawsuit, though, right? That 2025 was the mm-hmm. these left wing storefronts, and but you still got to deal with the DOJ itself, right?
Well, yes, we always do with the prisons there. So it's a continuing battle, that's for sure.
Well, do you think this, though, that this is going to be, or at least now that you're in a seems to be a positive direction, I think we all can acknowledge that in dealing with this, that the some of these solutions we're trying to implement are going to be long lasting. This is another one of those situations where, like, when we had the last time the feds came knocking, when Wallace was governor and Fob James was governor, that, you know, well, then here we are 30, 40 years later having to deal with this again. The longevity here, do you feel good about that?
Yeah, I feel better about it now with this plan. I know the last time this is way before my time, and I know I was at least in high school. You may not have been born there, but that when that was going on with Governor Wallace, I mean, this particular plan, as far as the consolidation was presented at that time, and, you know, decided not to do it, to go along by building these smaller prisons in more rural areas. And of course that really is one of the things that has hurt us, because it's hard to find employees in some of these out of the way places. You know, it's you got to get more toward population centers to find the employees. So I think we're going in that right direction, getting in those population centers, and plus going to areas where we already own the property. So that helps us save money from that standpoint. And so I think this is more positive than that plan was many years ago.
Representative, you're always very generous with your time, and we do appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we could talk again soon as the session unfolds.
Well, I hope so, and I look forward to seeing you soon, Jeff.
All right. State Representative Steve Klaus there on the line. As I said, always appreciative of him coming on and joining us. We've got to get a break in here. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5.